Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us a very special guest. His name is Larry Pratt from the Gun Owners of America. And you can call us later at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now, hi, Larry. How's it going? Larry?
Yes, good to be with you.
Well, it's always good to have you with us. And tell us what's going on back there in Washington, D.C. Has the Bush administration decided that there really is a war on terrorism and we're going to allow the pilots to be armed? Or are they continuing the same obstructionist policies that they have since the very beginning of this so-called war on terrorism, of doing everything they could to thwart the will of Congress and the American people and block efforts to arm the pilots so they can protect their passengers?
Well, so far, the Transportation Safety Agency has kept its hammer lock on the idea of arming pilots, and less than 200 pilots have been certified to be armed in their cockpits. That's with about 2 years now, almost, of two different laws being passed. Congress wasn't satisfied that the TSA was getting it the first time, and so they passed another law saying, we really meant it, get a move on it, and they're still not doing any better.
So basically, our duly elected representatives are sort of figures. They make us feel that they really have some influence, but it's really the bureaucracy that tells what's going to happen, like they do in any authoritarian society?
Unless you really do one of two things, bypass them or eliminate them.
All right. Well, how can we bypass them and how can we eliminate them?
Well, money is the easiest way to eliminate. You just defund, and you could probably shrink almost radically any federal bureaucracy if you simply had a hiring freeze on new hires and any consultants. Yeah. They would start to shrivel up.
But of course, will the Bush administration do that?
Don't hold your breath.
All right.
the other possibility is to bypass them, and I think Congress is beginning to think more in that mode, and that would be to, in the case of legislation that we would encourage being introduced, and hopefully it will be in the next session of this Congress, starting sometime in January, be the idea of saying, look, there's probably upwards of 70% of the pilots that have had military and or law enforcement training. If they have either of the two, prove it and walk into the cockpit with a gun. That simple. Thanks, TSA, for all your hard work, but we really won't be needing that anymore. And then you would have an enormous increase because, from what we can tell, well over 90% of the pilots want to be able to protect their cockpit, want to be responsible themselves for having a part of that self-defense, and they want to be able to have guns in the cockpit. And so we'll see. But I think that may be the route that we try to pursue in the new year.
All right. Now you say about 200 pilots have been armed in 2 years of this terrible war on terrorism. How many pilots are there? How many commercial pilots are there who should be armed?
Over 100,000 passenger pilots.
All right.
That doesn't count cargo.
All right. And so neither the passenger nor the cargo plane pilots have been allowed to be armed. When I get back, I'd like to talk about that wonderful article that appeared in the Washington Times by a pilot who was just talking about how they're playing games with the pilots and of course, a game of obstruction. But we'll be back in just a moment here with Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And when I say afternoon, it's still afternoon here on the West Coast, but to our listeners here on the East Coast, I know it's evening. So anyway, it's a figure of speech. Under any circumstances, we're talking about the fact that the National Traffic Safety Board is doing everything they can to impede efforts of the pilots, the pilot associations, the will of Congress, and the will of the American people to have the pilots armed. And I would think the logical thing to, would be, if there really is a threat of terrorist hijacking, would be to have the pilots armed. And yet, of course, the bureaucracy is doing everything they can to block it. How do they justify what they're doing? Or is it, oh, we're here from the government, we're here to protect these pilots because they might use the weapons irresponsibly? What is their justification for doing what they're doing?
Well, for example, they have introduced a third intensive and rather intrusive psychological examination for a pilot that would want to be armed in the cockpit. All pilots right now take two a year. The FAA wants to make sure that, and they have wanted to make sure for a long time, that, look, guy, we're gonna, or gal, we're going to send you up there with upwards of a quarter of a million pounds of jet fuel. We want to make sure that you're not going to go postal on us while you're up there, okay? So they're already doing that. So what's the problem? If the guy's capable of taking the plane up, which could be used as a weapon of mass destruction, do we really have to worry about what he's going to do with a piddly little pistol? For goodness sakes. Well, the reason for this additional intrusive exam, which has a lot of the pilots skittish, because the TSA has got quite an attitude, and they're concerned that if some shrink thinks they've looked cross-eyed, a bad report could go up on them, and since they depend for their livelihood on the federal government, they might not get their license renewed or might even get it yanked because of some idiot shrink. And so that's backed off a lot of pilots. Now, when asked to justify this, the TSA has said, well, we wanted to make sure that if they had to kill some attacker, that they wouldn't be so psychologically distraught that they couldn't land the plane. Please.
Can they give an absolute guarantee that their shrink would be able to guarantee that one way or the other?
Well,
that's
a good question. And frankly, who cares? There's two pilots.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, and he's saying that the government bureaucrats, in their wisdom, have insisted that not only will the pilots, our commercial airline pilots, take the normal two psychological tests, which they already do take now every year. Now they want to give them another psychological test with their own psychiatrist to make sure that if they actually kill somebody, that they wouldn't be so distraught, they wouldn't be able to land the plane. And so they'd rather, of course, have the plane hijacked and crashed into a building because we couldn't trust the pilot. Most of our pilots have to have a pretty sound basis and excellent health. Before they're going to be pilots, they're already checked out by company psychiatrists. But it seems like they're doing everything they can to impede the will of the people. Do you have that feeling, Larry?
They have an attitude, a clear attitude. And I think it roots from the top of the TSA, which is under the Homeland Security Department. Comridge, shortly after the discussion in Congress began about arming pilots, said, what? Arming pilots? Well, where's that going to stop? With truck drivers? Well, of course, a number of people who are familiar with how a terrorist might operate said, you know, we hope truck drivers are armed because they would make a dandy target. Look at all the hazardous waste and just a huge, 18-wheeler, you could empty out a benign cargo and pack it full of nasty stuff, and you've got yourself a weapon of mass destruction that, properly placed, would probably be about as destructive as a 747 going into a tall building. And that was the attitude right at the beginning. We just can't imagine average, common people, be they truck driver or bus driver or plane driver, to make these kinds of life and death decisions. Only we in the government are capable of doing that. And actually, we who are not even elected are capable of doing that. Somehow, we're even better than they who are elected. Because you'll notice that among the members of Congress, even anti-gunners, I would point especially to Senator Barbara Boxer, who's never been a friend of self-defense, never been a friend of the Second Amendment. Barbara Boxer was a true leader in getting legislation passed. She worked with Bob Smith of New Hampshire when he was in the U.S. Senate and was truly pro-gun. She worked with him to get his bill through. She was a very helpful ally in that battle. And yet the bureaucrats know better than left-wing and conservative elected officials. These people sometimes get emotional, but we here in the government, we have a system, and our system is better than anything they can come up with.
Well, I think it seems to me, Larry, that we're talking about a matter of life and death. If there really are hijackers that are planning on hijacking our planes again, and it should be pretty obvious to everybody that if a college student could smuggle a couple of knives onto a plane and fluid that would simulate explosives, if he could do that, the hijackers could if they really wanted to.
Well, and they had quite a scare last week when they canceled some flights coming out of Paris. So.
But wouldn't you feel far better off knowing that your pilot had a weapon, that both pilots were armed and they're there to protect us, than absolutely nothing, that maybe an F-16 is going to shoot down your plane? What would you rather have, an armed pilot or an armed F-16 plane off your starboard bow?
And, you know, as you said before, nobody can guarantee that the pilot isn't going to get somehow all shaken up after having to kill an attacker. But my guess is he's going to be thinking about how he can open a bottle of champagne when he gets back, because he'll still be alive. He'll be able to make that call home and say, honey, you'll never guess what happened at work today. You know, praise the Lord, I'm still alive. Put in filet mignon. I'm stopping off for some fancy wine on the way home. You know, that's what would probably be on his mind, that he's been spared to live another day. The idea that he had to kill somebody that tried to kill him, most people that go through that are able to get through the next few minutes quite well. Thank you very much. I don't know where these bureaucrats think the rest of us live, but they must think that we have such a sheltered life, because after all, that's what they're doing for us, really, is sheltering our lives, that we just couldn't take an unprotected reality unless they were there to protect us.
But Larry, it is totally illogical. If there's really a danger from hijackers, terrorists hijacking our planes, what is the alternative to the pilot being armed? And there is no alternative.
Well, there's two. One is to have the plane do what they did on September 11, and the other is for an F-16 fighter pilot to use his airplane to shoot your airplane out of the air.
Right. And so I think that we have to take serious exception to what's going on. We have to question, maybe they know something that the rest of us common folks don't know. And they've done nothing at all to arm either the pilots on the passenger planes or the cargo planes. They're not even bothering to check the cargo on most of these planes.
Right.
Well, they're saying, yeah, it's one of these days we've got to get around to doing that. How about the air marshals? How many air marshals are there really out there? Do we have any idea?
Well, we're not sure. They won't say, but my guess is it's a constant number, because as many as they bring in, attracted by the higher salaries, as many go out completely unable to stand the boredom of the job. I mean, flying across the country in a comfortable chair that moves, well, some of us, myself included, have an almost impossible time not going to sleep under such a set of circumstances. And I know a lot of these guys are got to be having the same kind of problem. So the bureaucrats are not able to handle that. There's some, I don't know how many tens of thousands of flights a day, but basically it comes down to the fact that if you're flying out of Washington National, there's probably an air marshal on your plane. Not always, but there's a good chance. If you're flying out of any other airport, rot's a ruck. He's on his way back from the flight he took from National Airport, that's all, because that's where he's going to be protecting, because that's number one. Those are the flight paths that go right over the White House. So that's what they want, and also the Congress.
And of course, the thing is that I will tell you that on the Israeli planes, there are air marshals, usually a couple of them on every plane. So the Israelis protect their people, and it would appear that the Bush administration really isn't that interested in protecting us. It would appear that way. Am I being harsh in that judgment?
Well, I think it's overdue that the Bush administration take positive action to dispel these kinds of questions, and that's why we've had our members going to gunowners.org to get the email if they don't already get them on our emailing list, and they can sign up for those, by the way, at the same place, at gunowners.org. But if they go to that address, which is the Gun Owners of America website, that first page that comes up will have one of the most recent alerts dealing with this very problem, and it explains it, what you and I are talking about now, and asks people to send an electronic postcard at the bottom to the White House, just a couple of clicks and you're done. But they need to know that the American people, their voters, our members, want to have the head of the Transportation Safety Agency taken to the woodshed and given some career counseling, you know, like either stop messing around and get the job done or get a new job.
Well, I think that the we don't know what the Bush administration position is. Maybe they're just totally incompetent there. Maybe they don't know what's happening. But if we write to them and you besiege them with these emails, they're either going to have to ship up or it's going to become very obvious to the American people that they want a protection for the elite, but not for us common folks. And that's, I think, the thing that really disturbs me. There seems to be such an elitist attitude. Well, we'll protect the people in Washington, D.C. We'll have, of course, all sorts of fighter planes around whenever the president's flying. But as far as you common folks, you don't even deserve to have an armed pilot or an air marshal on your plane. So are you getting a pretty good response from people sending those emails in?
We have. People are very concerned, because even if you don't fly a lot, there's the possibility that one of these planes may be aimed at a house you live in or at a building you work in. So we all really have pretty much the same stake in this, and I think it's something that the administration needs to hear from. Politically, they'd better consider the fact that if Barbara Boxer, who is very much on the left, I mean, she's a full-bore socialist, if she is to the president's right on this issue, then the Democrats could steal the march on the Republicans on a key security issue, a key make-me-feel-secure type issue that would play, I think, very strongly with soccer moms. And this is something that the administration really seems to have paramount in mind. Gee, what do the soccer moms want? That's what we want to give. And here's something where Barbara Boxer, Mrs. Soccer mom, wants armed pilots, and at least when this was initially being legislated, the Bush administration actively opposed it. So they're vulnerable on this, and I think they'd better wake up and smell the political coffee.
All right, fine. Now, they go to your website, gunowners.org, and what will they find there?
Well, at the top of that page will be the federal email bulletins we have sent out, and probably the top or the second one, maybe the top one still, deals with this very issue about arming the pilots. Mr. President, put the word, the Board of Education, to the back of the head of the Transportation Safety Agency.
Well, now, what can they do? I mean, do you have a ready prepared email for them, or do they have to send it themselves, or what?
We have one that they can either drag and drop for themselves, or with a couple of clicks, they can send a pre-written email through our service right to the White House. Very easy.
That sounds just like what people have got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what Larry is saying. This is an important issue because, of course, if you're going to be flying, it could be your life or the life of a loved one that is endangered. If there really is a danger from terrorist hijacking, unless, of course, people in Washington, D.C. know something that they're not telling us. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if there's any one tape that what you should hear. It's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of things that we carry here. Well, of course, we carry the Big Berkey water filters, and the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. It's put a couple of gallons of water in the top, comes out the bottom, and if it's gone through the ceramic filters, and it'll take out most of the bacteria, the pesticides, the herbicides, the bad taste. A great standard, dependable water filter type have been used for 150 years, and of course these cost $239.95 plus shipping. They're available in every state except for California and Iowa. Now, if you want to get a water filter here, we have the Berkey Light, and the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water levels, which is an advantage. You can actually see the filters, and they're black Berkey filters. They're different. They're really much more efficient than the traditional filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, depending upon how much use they're getting. Of course, if you're having fluoride in the water, you can get some special filters, post filters that have to be replaced every 6 months, but you don't want to be drinking water that's been chlorinated. So if you'd like to see the Berkey Light or the Big Berkey, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or if you'd like, of course, to order them, and if you do order them through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video that we produce. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we mentioned the Institute of the Constitution. If you are concerned about what's happening to our country, you need to help us train people about America's Christian heritage, about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, to understand why America was founded as it was, that our freedom came from God, from the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which said that we hold all these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. The last sentence of the Constitution that talks about the, being signed in this day of our Lord, we were a Christian nation. Call 410-760-9068. 410-760. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Mary calling us from Covina. Our guest, of course, this afternoon is Larry Pratt. Hi, Mary, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Dr.
Stan. Hi, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to ask Larry to comment about, I got something from Cutting Edge that said that the Ninth Circuit District Court had ruled that guns, that the amendment that gives us the right to the guns, that did not apply to individuals and that we cannot own guns, and it was all of the western states?
Well, it says that if a state in the Ninth Circuit, and California is the major state there, decides that they want to ban a particular kind of gun or any gun, that they would be free to do so because the Second Amendment, according to the Ninth Circuit, doesn't protect an individual right to keep and bear arms. The states' legislatures in the other states, such as Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Arizona, and I think New Mexico and probably Montana and Wyoming, but I'm not real sure. Well, the likelihood of them passing such legislation is not very great at all. California is the major assailant against the people's rights. And that circuit court has been contradicted by the Fifth Circuit, which sits in New Orleans, and it has said that the Second Amendment does protect an individual right. The Supreme Court recently declined to take a case that would have given it the opportunity to settle the issue, and my guess is the Supreme Court may not view itself as ready to do it. And I'm not sure the Supreme Court would do it right in view of the tendency in the court lately to openly tell us that when they make their decisions, a number of the justices have admitted that they've used foreign and international law as their reference for making their decisions. Now, that's very much a violation of their oath of office, but they're willing to say that they do it anyway. Now, if the court were the same thinking, it's the same people that we had on the court in 1990, if they hadn't changed their minds and if they weren't looking at foreign and international law, the court, the nine members that are there now, had said in a decision that was handed down in 1990 that all of the amendments in our Bill of Rights where the phrase "the people" is used, such as in the Second Amendment where it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And this language, "the people," is used in the First, Second, Fourth, Ninth, and Tenth Amendments. I guess that's half. They said, well, that refers to individuals. Well, you know, that's great, except some of us are rather concerned that the court has become completely detached from the Constitution, doesn't really give a never mind to the Constitution. And so I think our main recourse, which is not going to be easy, not going to be cheap, it's not going to be quick, is a political recourse. We're going to have to educate our fellow Americans who are being miseducated in school about what our Constitution is supposed to do, namely provide for a Republican form of government that uses democracy as one of the means of running the government. But a Republican constitutional government puts certain things off limits for any vote. And that needs to be re-explained to people. A lot of people graduating from school have no idea that that's what American government is supposed to be all about. And it's that kind of ignorance that has allowed us to get to the point where we have a Ninth Circuit consisting of judges that were appointed by politicians who evidently were right in thinking that they could get away with making such outrageous appointments. So we've got to start, we the voters, we the people, have to start demanding a political price for politicians who support lousy judges like that.
And that's Mary, the job. Mary, the thing that we need to do is set up these institutes of the Constitution all across America. They're being set up to retrain people in the Constitution and tell them what has been suppressed by the media, what's been suppressed by the by our educational system. Tell them about our heritage and the fact that the Bill of Rights limited the power of government over the lives of the people. Anything else, Mary?
Yes, because, I do want to ask something else. I want to know why this was before the Ninth District. Did someone have to bring it to them?
Yes.
Who was that person?
Well, there have been more than one case, but the latest case was brought by Mr. Gorski on behalf of Silvera and other people out of California regarding the ban on semi-automatic firearms.
Okay, Mary, we're going to have to take a break. Do you want to wait until afterwards? Anything else you want to say?
Well, if you could comment later about the fact of can't we impeach those judges? Because I think we have such corrupt politicians that, you know, they have been bought.
Mary, we have to educate the people first. Until we have the people behind us, we can't do anything. So help us educate them, will you?
Okay.
God bless you. Bye-bye. That was Mary from Covina. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Larry Pratt. Let me tell you about some of the
four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and of course we hope many of you will be interested in them. We've used them for several years. We're sold on them. And of course, there's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a gel, a lotion. And people who use these products really do swear by them. And they tell us about the miraculous things that have happened. And we can't make any medical recommendations. We've been told that by some people it helps their rashes, their acne, that helps their digestive tract. But all we can do is suggest you try the products and see if they help you. You can find out about them by going to our website at radioliberty.com or certainly give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the introductory offer to get a complete set of the Miracle 2 soap products. And then we want to mention that we carry Phenopoly, which is a board game designed to teach you, your children, and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's five board games, two bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books there. And we've had such excellent results with this. Most of these programs to teach children how to read phonetically are $600-$700. This one's $139.95 plus $10 shipping. And, well, we think you'd be pleased with it. We put out an awful lot of these. And most of the people, in fact, everybody we've sent them to, has been pleased. So it's Phenopoly. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then if you have your children in the government school, consider the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. 22 CDs that will take your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. That's it. The only thing you have to get in addition to the Saxon math textbooks, the program is $199.95. A wonderful way, the best gift you could give your child is a homeschooling. Get them out of government schools. Give them a chance to develop. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt, and we're talking about the problems that we are having here as far as the gun legislation. Now, we're very concerned here in California that Arnold Schwarzenegger is certainly no friend of guns. What are your thoughts on that, or do we know, Larry?
Well, Mr. Schwarzenegger seems to have adopted the views on guns that the family that he married into has, the Kennedy clan. He's no friend of self-defense. He seems to have the view of many of the Hollywood elite that it's okay if they have a concealed carry permit. Sheriff of Los Angeles has said they'd be the only one that he'd give one to, but otherwise they can hire private security because money for most of them is really not an object. So Schwarzenegger, I think, has shown that his thinking is very much left of center. Look at his economic position. He's not interested in reducing the size of California government at all. He's willing to go into debt further in order to continue financing the very programs that brought California to its knees at this point. So he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand that big government has become the problem, and people need to be able to make decisions on their own, whether it's going into business without the government giving them permission or protecting their life without the government giving them permission. People ought to be able to carry a firearm whenever they would like to take that measure to be able to protect their life if need be. And this is something that's not reasonably a government matter. It's wrong, it's immoral for the government to tell people, no, we're not going to let you, without our permission, defend yourself. Look, even football players in the National Football League, an article just within the last week, pack heat, a lot of them. Nobody knows how many, which is good, but some of the people who, fellow players that are now retired and were willing to talk a little bit to the reporter who did the story, say that lots of them, maybe as much as 80-90% of the players have a gun in their locker, have one in their car. It may or may not be legal to carry it in a particular area, but they're doing it because they feel the need. As prominent celebrity individuals who are being paid a lot, they can all point to, for instance, one of the NFL players who was held up in a parking lot, I think it was. He had something like $100,000 worth of jewelry, and he had nothing better that he could do than hand it over. He was as helpless against a guy with a gun as I would be. And without guns being a factor, any one of these football players would probably be able to take on all but a tiny handful of the American population one-on-one. The gun is truly a great equalizer.
And I think that, you know, the amazing thing is that the outlaws, the criminals, just don't go along with our laws. They carry guns. It's simply the law-abiding people that can't carry them. What's wrong with this picture? Well, let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. Have a question?
Yes, I do. Survival is one of the most sacred of all human rights. Survival, the right to survive and protect your family. Here, this country spends more on weaponry and weapons of mass destruction and killing machines than any country since the history of man. Why does not the Supreme Court and the administration and the governments all protect our right to defend ourselves? First of all, those not specified within the Constitution, under the Constitution, reverts to the states. This is a state's issue, just like the driving and the welfare. Those are all state issues. The federal government has no business sticking its nose in our right to defend and protect our families.
All right. Let's go ahead and get Larry's response to that.
Thank you so much,
Ben. And Ben's point is well made.
Sure is.
Certainly, what right does the federal government have to interfere? There is no justification for the federal government interfering with the rights of the people. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, I think, it gets us back to the kind of thing you were talking about a little bit ago with the Institute on the Constitution. Until we, the people, understand the kind of government that our forefathers developed and gave to us, and gave to us out of their experience dealing with government run amok, and that maybe they could have done better. I think they could have done better, but they sure did better than anybody else has done that I'm aware of in history, outside of maybe the Hebrew Republic in the Old Testament. They did a really good job, and we ought to go back and study that, and if we're going to criticize the government, we ought to criticize the constitutional government in some way that we might make it even better. How can we keep big government creep from taking over the sound principles that are embedded into the Constitution? Well, those are questions that are not being asked at all in the government schools, and that's why Gun Owners of America has realized that we've got to be involved in the education legislation here in Washington. Washington doesn't have any jurisdiction to be involved in education, but they've, for practical purposes, taken over the local schoolhouse. The local school board is not truly independent. They now have to conform to federally mandated standards, and they better use the textbooks that are developed for that, or else if their students don't test well enough, their schools will lose the government money they're getting from Washington. That, in general, is the problem, and in particular, we've found that the history and the civics curricula that are being mandated from Washington are highly anti-gun. They basically tell the students that it's not an individual right, our right to keep and bear arms, and that it's not a relevant right in our modern times. That's I'm taking this from a textbook that you and I paid for. The Department of Education funded We the People, and this textbook is the one that was developed by the government to conform to its own standards for curriculum. So we have a direct interest, it turns out, as Gun Owners of America, in federal education policy and legislation. Now, there shouldn't be any. Let me repeat that. I'm not at all trying to evade that point. But the fact of the matter is, at the moment, they are requiring a dumbing down of students going through the government schools, and these students will be coming out voting, saying, oh, please, get those horrible guns out of grandmother's purses and guys' closets. It's time that America only have guns in the hands of the police and the military. That's what they're being taught. That's what they will vote.
And it's about time that we taught the American people that our founding fathers believed that that government governs best, it governs the least. Limit the power of the federal government and you'll have liberty. Take those limitations off and you'll have tyranny. So let's go to Marilyn, who's calling from Sacramento. Hi, Marilyn. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing better now that the holidays are over. I can have a little more time. And my concern is about the airline pilot issue and the arming of the airline pilots. I am very concerned that affirmative action has moved into the hiring of pilots as much as everything else. The airlines are very, very regulated by the government. And my question is, how many commercial airline pilots are Muslim or have Middle Eastern connections? I know we had this problem with Air France. That's why it was a crew member, I believe, that they thought would be a threat. And
yes, that was one of their suspects.
All right, one of their suspects. Now, come on, how many of the cabin crew or pilots are of that same descent?
I can't answer your question. I can only tell you that from the pilots with whom we've worked at Gun Owners of America, that's one of the things they have not complained about, at least not yet. I mean, and they've been pretty candid about telling us what their problems are, even beyond the immediate issue of arming pilots. So I suppose it's not much of a problem, if at all. For one thing, you do have those psychological exams, and so if they're bringing on somebody who's not going to be able to handle it, they've eliminated all but the most clever of the nutcases. So while there could be a problem, that's one that, well, I think you're right to be concerned about it because you shouldn't be profiling, which is the mantra we hear here in Washington. But so far, that doesn't seem to have become the problem that it has been in other areas.
I'm really not worried about that. I'm worried about the fact that we should have armed pilots, Marilyn. Anything else you want to say?
Well, no, except that, you know, the issue, and as far as the Boston and those issues of those people getting through the screening process with their arms on them, if they were the ones who did it, that's another subject. But nevertheless, I understand that the FAA had issued warnings to the airlines not to profile Middle Eastern people when they letting them through, or other people who might be suspicious.
But we've got to search those 90-year-old grandmothers because they might be planning to hijack the plane. Thanks so much,
Well,
Marilyn.
Yes, I have to take my shoes off when I go through.
Right.
Well, they're really watching, aren't they?
Right. Thanks so much, Marilyn. Let's go to Chris from Kentucky. Hi, Chris.
Brother Stan, thank you very much for taking my call. Larry Pratt, how you doing tonight?
Good evening.
I appreciate your call very much on this. You know, we're getting into some very tyrannical times. Republicans and Democrats want to argue who's going to do what. We have more solutions and more government. It's just not going to be the solution at all. And the problem is that people don't look at history. People don't look at the gun control history. In 1938, the Gun Control Act of 90 was established in Germany in the 30s. In 1968, we had it here. That was from the documents. And we had what happened at Waco. Now, I have a copy of a tape called The BATF Story, The Untold Story, and Dave Koresh actually had a copy of that. These come from testimonials of law-abiding citizens who never committed a crime or harassed by the feds, and that includes the police officers of two Camden, New Jersey police officers. And if nobody has this tape out there in the listening audience, this is a must-see. Because this can happen to you.
Okay, did you have any question at all for Larry?
Okay, I want to also ask the questions. What is going to be in the 2004 elections under the NRA, who so-called pro-gun, that they're establishing and how much of the mind twisting they're going to do to the people, Larry.
What's the specific question? What's going to happen in the 204 election with guns?
No, with the NRA that are pro-gun, but evidently they're not. And why is it that people need to get out of the NRA?
All right. Larry, do you want to address that?
The biggest problem that I think we've found with the NRA is that they're way too pessimistic. And as a result, they've been willing to make concessions when we didn't think it was necessary. I think the biggest example so far where we've been directly involved was the attack on gun shows that was launched by Republican Senator Orrin Hatch during the end of the Clinton administration. And we fought that thing tooth and nail. When it finally passed the Senate, the year of Columbine, it was before the House, and the NRA was understandably concerned because the bill would have put gun shows out of business had it passed in the form Hatch had written it. So they devised a watered-down version that only highly regulated and restricted gun shows and took away the freedom of average people to sell a gun without the government butting its nose in. And we said, that's gun control. We don't want that either. And we fought it all. And by the grace of God, we were able to stop it. Our members, with their postcards and their email and their phone calls that they knew about doing because they were on our mailing list and email list, that's what stopped that legislation. We just have a more optimistic view that if you, particularly in a defensive mode, you go in there and you make it too expensive, too unpleasant, too costly for the other side to push, they're going to back off after a point because what they don't like is pain, and if you give them enough of it, they may try to come back later on when they think you're not looking, but they will likely back off at that time. And that's been, I would say, the big difference between us. We think we understand confrontational politics, and we wish we could get our friends that don't agree with us to read our founder's book, which, Dan, I think maybe you guys carry, Confrontational Politics. It's a short, very good little read, and that book really explains the problem that gun owners have had, conservatives in general have had, Republicans have failed because they haven't understood this, but Richardson writes from his own experience as a now-retired California state senator.
And it's a wonderful book. We don't actually carry it, but they can get it from Gun Owners of America. What the number would they call to get that?
Well, they can either go to our website, gunowners.org, and just look for the bookstore there on that page that opens up, or they can call 888-88-6-GUNS, 888-886-GUNS. And of course, that's the same number you could call if you would like information about membership and getting the newsletter from GOA.
All right. Well, look, anything else you want to say there, Chris? As far as I'm concerned, I belong to Gun Owners of America. I do not belong to NRA for that very, very reason. They sound real good, but when push comes to shove, they keep retreating.
You're absolutely right. Larry, what was that website again?
Gunowners.org. It's one word. It's plural. Gunowners.org. And that's really all you have to type in. You don't even need all the other internet.
Chris, I want you to get everybody down there in Kentucky listening to Radio Liberty. Will you work at that?
I certainly will.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank
okay,
you so much.
That was Chris calling from Kentucky, and so we've had a pretty good cross-section of the United States here. There's from Pennsylvania, from Sacramento, from Kentucky, and elsewhere. Of course, from Ben from Salinas. So what are your parting thoughts for our listeners today? What can we do? What are the really important issues right now, Larry?
Well, we've seen that putting the heat on is the real key to unlocking the door to the political process. That door will remain closed as long as we don't use that key. And we still have that tool. There have been a lot of encumbrances placed on the use of the key. The campaign finance law, which we've discussed on other occasions and we might want to revisit it sometime in the future, made it more difficult to use the key, but it's still something that we can do through the internet, through talk shows like this one, through newsletters, through mailings of any and all kinds, we're still able to get the word out. We hope that people will be listening and acting.
All right, fine. And then you go to that the website, gunowners.org, or you can give them a call. I'll give that telephone number just one more time, Larry.
888-886-GUNS, 888-886-GUNS.
God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll be talking to you for our evening program a little later. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That's certainly one of my favorite guests. Larry Pratt, I hope he's one of your favorite guests as well. So we'll be back here in just a moment to begin wrapping up this afternoon's program. And remember, freedom is lost when good people aren't involved. They're doing a great job there at Gun Owners of America. Help them, help Radio Liberty. Help us save America.
This is a fascinating four-tape set. Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, Dr. Stan, basically Dr. Day was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, and we actually have four tapes that discuss the talk that Dr. Day had given back in 1969, and there are three interviews done by Randy Engel, one interview I did. We call it the New Order or the Barbarians, the tape set, and of course we actually have it, the transcript of that all written out as well. And you can get that from Radio Liberty. There's nothing quite like it. And Dr. Day was privy to the secrets of these people. He talked about how they were going to create new diseases to kill people off, how they would suppress information on cancer, treatments for cancer, so that the public would never find out, because people were going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. Total crass disregard for human suffering, the New Order of the Barbarians. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get our four tape sets on other issues. We have a special call of Vietnam. And, of course, you can either get the four tape set on Vietnam or the Vietnam special, because, of course, we never went to Vietnam to win. We just went there to fight a war, and you'll actually get, with the Vietnam special, a copy of the report from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee going into the boys we abandoned in the First World War and in the Second World War and in Vietnam and in Korea. And you need to have this information to show it to others. And when you go into these government reports, and then you ask yourself, how is it that, ask your friend, how have they been able to suppress this information? Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Order the New Order of the Barbarians, or Vietnam, the Untold Story, or better still, the Vietnam Special. And they're all available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and become part of our team, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have a great new video. We've talked about it before. It's called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. We think it's the finest video that's out there now. In 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 20 minutes, a very professionally done video with wonderful music and graphics and interviews with Carol Matriciana and David Bay and the William Still and David Hunt, going into the background of what's happening today from a spiritual point of view and then from a political point of view, and going into the background of the Illuminati. going into the background of masonry and the plan for three world wars. And we're in that third world war today, but they haven't told the American people. We won't know until some of our cities lay in ruins. So this is a great video. It's Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. And then, of course, what they're doing to the churches. Well, you need to understand that the seeker-friendly church, the purpose-driven church, the church growth movement is part of a carefully planned program to change the message and the music of the church and destroy the influence of Christianity in America. The video that explains it all, Diaprax and the Church. Diaprax and the Church is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You need to get this information. You need to help us disseminate it across America. Then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see the products we carry there. We do carry the big Berkey products and the Berkey Light, and if you buy them through us, well, you get a four-tape set or a video that we produced free of charge. And we hope that, of course, you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com. You'll listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. And then when you get done listening to the 5 hours a day, why, you'll then pull down the various programs that we have archived there, so you can spend about 10 hours a day getting an education. And I know most of you aren't going to do that, but listen some, get as much information as you can, and then help us disseminate the truth across America. You can pull down our newsletters, and we give you our permission to copy them. And our newsletters are usually up there within 4 or 5 days of the time that they're mailed. Our December newsletter will be up there probably within 3 or 4 days, because it is completed now, and will be going to the printer tomorrow or the next day. That's the December newsletter. It tells you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Not the fact that they did it, but why did they do it? Why is it that our courts seem to hate Christianity and Judaism and the Ten Commandments? Well, our December newsletter, I think you'll find rather surprising. We'd be glad to send you one free of charge. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe to our newsletter or to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, your assignment out there all across America is to tell other people about our radio program. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. Encourage them to listen to our programs. Encourage them to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because as the base continues growing, then we're going to be able to continue expanding with new stations and taking on more. And actually, we've even finding a few stations that will carry us free of charge, because they think that the message is, well, it's different than the other messages, because we go into the spiritual aspect of the geopolitical struggle in which we're currently engaged. So we ask you then to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because if the American people don't return to God, do you honestly believe that God will ever again protect this country? And last, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.